Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
Testing, testing.
Are you recording?
No.
Oh, no.
Are you?
Yeah, but what happens if I lose the recording?
I don't know. I don't have a recording machine yet. I've been meaning to do that.
Recording machine.
What's that called?
Are you gonna bring your tape recorder, your cassette player, and start recording?
Yeah, let's see. Windows recorder, that'll work.
Yeah, for about 10 minutes. It'll save a huge WAV file on your machine.
out of hard drive space.
You'll crash. This episode is a 10-minute long episode.
It's 10 minutes long, and it's a 45 gig file. We apologize in advance.
I can't access the operating system. I filled up the disk.
Son of a bitch.
So I guess Micah's got phone problems.
Yeah, he's running around town trying to get a new phone or get his phone fixed.
Yeah. He should just go to a flip phone like you.
Flip phones never fail.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a flip phone that failed.
Mine came apart.
Oh, did you? Although I'll tell you one thing. Watching Breaking Bad, it makes me want to snap my flip phone in half. Because that's what they do. Every time they make a phone call,
yeah,
they break it in half and throw it in the garbage. Oh, man, that looks so cool, just snapping it in half like that.
I guess
when I upgrade my phone, I'm just going to do that. I'll do a Breaking Bad on it.
And you should film it. Yeah, and you should do some heroin before. Morphine. Meth. Meth. Do some crystal meth and then break it.
Let's be like, burn it down, burn it down.
There you go.
Someday when I upgrade my phone.
So Micah will probably not be with us today. There's a probability he might call in.
I'd say probably like 90% chance that he's not coming.
Yeah. He'll get distracted. He'll get his phone and then he'll see some food and he'll eat.
Yeah, it'll take him a while to get back.
Yeah.
Does he have an iPhone or what?
I don't know.
I guess
if he had an iPhone, it wouldn't break. It's probably a regular phone.
So he's probably going to like a T-Mobile store or something.
Or I don't know. Maybe we could call him at T-Mobile. We'll just start calling some near his house. If he's there. Maybe speak to Micah, please. Is he there?
Is Micah there?
You just have written him out of the scripts the last two episodes. Poor guy.
Micah goes off on an adventure. That's like, it just starts out beginning. As we look from our last episode, Micah is still out searching for a new phone.
There you go.
Well, Mike and Bill.
Mike chuckles. Ha ha ha.
Mike laughs and says something sarcastic about Micah. It makes fun of Bill's phone.
Your scripts are too detailed. It's almost like Alan Moore podcast.
Oh, I need to read some more Alan Moore scripts. Just because they're crazy.
They're just like too detailed for a podcast because there's no visuals. You can't say like Mike walks to the door to see if Harley's okay. You can't do shit like that.
Got to say, Mike says, I'm walking to the door to check if Harley's okay.
Yeah, that's... There you go.
then in parentheses, footsteps in the background. That would be fantastic. All right, what episode are we on? Welcome to Geek Brunch episode.
199. We're almost at 200.
200.
And I think at the episode 200, Bill will write me out of the script. It'll just be Bill.
It'll be a solo podcast.
It'll be a solo. And he'll be there with his Windows recorder. It'll be 10 minutes long. And he'll upload the file to the server, and it'll kill the server.
It'll kill the server. It'll kill all the podcasts on
all of Derek's network. Yeah. Derek's network goes down. It'll be the finale of Geek Brunch.
He burned it out. Yeah. 199.
We're almost at 200.
I remember episode 100 clearly.
199.
And 100, there was a bunch of people on the phone.
Yeah.
On the road. I think.
Luke was driving
drunk. Driving drunk. That's the one thing that stands out from that episode. Luke was driving drunk.
In the snow.
Yep. Trying to make it home.
What are you eating?
So did Micah jelly beans? So did Micah get snow?
I don't know. He or might.
Ice.
I haven't talked to Micah lately.
Because they did get snow down there, right? Or
yeah, I saw them on the news.
Yeah, somewhere around that area. I don't know if Charlotte got it or not.
Don't know.
Yeah, there's. I think like 60-something% of the country was like had snow or something.
Did you get snow?
Yeah, we get snow all the time.
Do you drive in it?
If I have
to. All the time, or do you work from home?
I work from home. I don't mind driving in the snow. I just traffic. It'll take forever to get there. So
yeah,
I can waste an hour or more getting to work and back, or getting to work. Or I can work at home and not have to worry about any of it and have a quick day. That's like when I have to, yeah, adding an additional 3 hours or so onto the day if I don't have to doesn't make much sense. And I can do all my stuff from home. So technology, remote desktop is a beautiful thing.
There you go.
I can just open remote desktops to all my lab PCs and I'm good to go. Until IT decides to block my access.
Yep.
Which they will someday. What's your weather been like? You guys got crazy weather where it's like warm and then cold.
Right now I think it's in the 50s, which is pretty warm for now, but it's really windy. A lot of gusts.
Yeah, we're supposed to get into the 50s, I think, tomorrow maybe. We must be getting your weather tomorrow.
Yeah. It's not been bad. I think this week is going to be a mild week.
Yeah. I think we're supposed to have a mild week, too. We didn't get this last snow, we only got like an inch or so. We didn't get what the East Coast got. I think they got hit again, didn't they?
I don't know. They're getting hit all the time. I haven't been paying attention. I've been reading comics.
Nice.
Don't pay attention to the weather.
That's wise.
I watch a lot of TV, too.
Well, that's good. Except you're watching that Arrow show for some reason.
Yeah, I got all caught up, and I'm done now. I don't know what to do.
Did you watch a good show?
It is a good show, man. Now, it's great.
Well, I'm sure that show is better for you than it is for me just because you have more of a familiarity with the characters. So,
yeah, probably.
When you see the characters, you get excited.
if it was a lot of dick in that show, then you'd be excited. If it was Canadian dick, you'd be more excited.
Oh, the man. Canadian Arrow.
The Canadian Justice League. Are you going to get that?
I am. Justice League Unlimited or something.
Well, you're going to get number one.
I'm going to get number one. It's Jeff Lemire writing a Canadian comic.
Yeah.
It has to be good. You know there he's going to put his heart and soul into that.
There you go.
I am. I'm getting that. That is on my list.
You're a big DC buyer that week.
There's bigger than Keith.
More than Keith.
I'm getting one more than Keith at least. I don't remember what other DC books I'm getting. What am I getting this week, month that's good?
Batman Eternal, because it's number one.
Yeah, Batman Eternal, because it's number one. That's on my list.
Aquaman and the Others, number one.
That's not on my list right now. I wonder if there's any other... Hang on, let me do a sort here. Unselect blanks. There we go. All right. Oh, no, I don't know which ones are DC's. That's just, yeah, we said that one. It says Justice League United number zero, evil.
There you go.
No, that's not DC. I don't know if I'm getting any other DC's.
That's a damn shame.
I get Batman, but I have the subscription to that one.
Batman Eternal, though?
No, just regular Batman. I thought there was a... I think there's a Vertigo I'm getting. I think there's a Vertigo trade for something.
Oh.
What the heck is that? Why is it not showing up on my list? What was that one about the post-apocalyptic one with the...
Hinterkind?
Yeah. Is that DC?
Yeah, that's Vertigo.
Oh, that's not even on my list. Maybe that was last month. I think I was getting the trade of that one because it was they're doing a $9.99 one.
Coffin Hill is out this month.
Yeah, Coffin Hill. I didn't really. I don't know if I want to get that one.
I like it.
It's hard. I mean, with the DCBS discount, it's like $5, so it's kind of hard to pass on.
Yeah.
That's why I got Hinterkind, because I wasn't crazy about it, but for $5, I'll read the first arc. I'll get to volume one. And then, okay, what else? Here, I'm going to go. These are Bill's picks, previews picks for this month. Afterlife with Archie trade. Very excited about that.
That is really good. But you don't get the issues on that?
No.
Ah, damn.
I'm going to get the trade. Caliban number one.
Yeah, sci-fi Avatar.
Sci-fi Warren Ellis, sci-fi Avatar.
Garth Ennis.
Oh yeah, Ennis. Why did I write Ellis? Son of a bitch. Yeah, I knew it wasn't Ellis. Yeah, Ennis. Ennis Ellis.
Even your spreadsheet's all fucked up.
A spreadsheet. Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, you wrote that into the script. I see here.
That's a typo. Typo Ennis. Yeah. So Garth Ennis is sci-fi Avatar. That should be good.
What else?
I'm getting this book called Clockwork Game.
I have no idea. That must be one of those ones that you have to stick your nose in the air for.
Yeah, it's very pretentious. It's a... I'm blanking on the creator's name. It's a woman...
Let me go. Keep talking. I'm going to go grab my preview so I can look at what you're talking about.
Follow along?
Okay. Yeah, I want to follow along Bill's script.
I don't have my sheet with my page numbers on it, though. Pause recording now. So I'll just keep talking. So the Clockwork Game is by... Her name's Jane... Oh, I can't remember her last name. I'm looking at my shelves and I can't find it. But she did a book called Fogelein.
What page are you on?
I don't know. I don't have my pages on me.
Who's the publisher?
I don't know. Hang on. I'm going to go grab my list. You can talk for a while.
Well, we're talking about Clockwork something or another, and it's somewhere in previews, somewhere after Archie, because if he's going in alphabetical order, this Lola looks pretty good. I think I'm going to try that. It's got to be after Avatar, because he mentioned Caliban. So where are we going from there? We're looking for Clockwork something or another. It's probably like Fantagraphics or something funky.
I don't think it's Fantagraphics. Man, we're awesomely prepared.
Ooh, this one looks interesting. Sanitarium. Let's get that. Let's review that.
Yeah, that's on my list, Sanitarium.
Did you get it? It looks interesting. It's got like a bunch of... It's a sane asylum.
Yeah, it's on my list. Here. Wait, oh. Page numbers. Oh, here we go. Oh, that's not it. What month is this? February. Here we go. Oh, no, I got to read my... Oh, here we go. Clockwork Game. 334.
334.
For those following along at home, please turn to page 334 of your previews catalog. Here we go. Fiery Studios. Jane Irwin. That's her last name. So this is a... Here, I'll read it. In 1769, the court of Empress Maria Theresa witnessed one of that era's most amazing feats of engineering, the Turk, a machine that could play chess. Clockwork Game retells the story of the automaton's 85-year career, which spanned two continents, including challenges from Napoleon, Charles Babbage, and Benjamin Franklin. Now, I think this is a true story. Very slice of life. But I'm mainly getting it because I like the creator, Jane Irwin. Because she did this book called... I think it's pronounced Vogelein or Fogelein. It's F. I have to look. I don't know the spelling of it. Which is, it was about a fairy. It's Vogelein. And there's like two volumes of that, I believe. And that was really good. So this is like her new one. So I'm looking forward to this. It was a, I think she did it as a web comic, like released it on the web. And then now this is the print version. What so else do I have here?
Sanitarium. I wasn't gonna get that, but I am now.
What page is that on?
I don't know. I ran across that as I was looking for the one that you had mentioned.
What did I write down about Sanitarium? Nothing.
But you're getting it.
Here we go. 322. Kids, 322 in your previous catalog. From Diablo Productions, Sanitarium. Sanitarium is a horror comic that revolves around the bizarre and terrifying backstories of patients who have been committed to an eerie insane asylum. Yay.
Yeah.
40 pages for $3.99. One of four.
I am going to get that.
Dr. Stenson presents Sanitarium.
And then Dynamite has a number one. You're not going to get that?
Which one is theirs?
Solar Man of the Atom.
Of course I'm getting Solar, and who knows if it'll be good.
Did you read Turok yet?
I don't think I've gotten Turok yet.
I was disappointed.
Yeah, I saw that you... weren't happy with it. That's too bad, because...
But Bob Rietal loved it.
Okay. I still... One of the things I want to do is go back and read the original Turok. I have not done that yet. Because in the Dark Horse Turok number one, the more recent one, they had, like, the backup was the old Turok number one.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoyed the old story.
And then Flash Gordon, are you going to jump on that?
I think I'm not getting Flash Gordon.
Oh, it looks so good. That Gabriel Hardman cover looks amazing.
Is that Dynamite?
Yeah.
What page is that?
Number 310. children turn to 310.
There we go. 310. Yes, a new Flash Gordon by Jeff Parker. Jeff Parker is hit or miss for me.
Same here. I liked his Aquaman so far. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yeah, I think you're a bigger Flash Gordon fan than I am. So.
Oh, I love Flash Gordon. I'm enjoying the current miniseries that's going on with King's Watch. That's good.
Yeah.
Kind of centers around Flash Gordon. Takes all the King Syndicate characters and brings them into Flash Gordon plot. That's kind of what it's about. I hear that Shadow's ending. That sucks.
We got
the final issue of Shadow number 25. Amazing Alex Ross cover. Like, I just love it. And then it's the Shadow Now number 6 of 6 is ending. So, and then there's a Shadow one shot, but the only thing that'll be left is the Shadow Year 1, and there's only one more issue of that. That's depressing.
Everything's ending. Does that mean they're going to reboot it again?
I hope so.
Because it's weird that, I mean, if they have three different titles, then it must be selling somewhat.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have spun off additional miniseries if the proper title wasn't doing that good. I don't know.
On page 336, we got Buck Rogers in the 21st Century Western Publishing Years, Volume 1 hardcover. This is based on the TV show, so if you're a fan of that, you probably should give that a look-see.
Which one? I didn't even notice it. Wait, where is it? Oh, this one up here. Here it is.
I'm going to get that.
When was that originally? Oh, here it is. 1964? When it was originally published? Oh, yeah, it's the TV show.
No, it's the TV show, but it ties into the Gold Key issue, I think it says.
Yeah, because the TV show is it 80s or 70s?
70s.
Late 70s.
Yeah, early 80s.
Have you ever read these?
I have issue number one, and instead of tracking down the individual issues, they're a little harder to get a hold of. I might just get the hardcover.
Hardcover, yeah.
Didn't you, I can't remember if this was you. I almost want to say it was you, but you'll have to tell me at one of the Heroes Cons or one of those conventions we were at. Did you point me out to Silk, that artist, or was it somebody else?
Must be someone else.
Okay. But he's doing the Sheena cover.
What page is that?
On Moonstone.
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 I don't see Moonstone. Oh, there it is.
Ooh, I want to point out one book.
Oh, Silky. A nude cover.
Yeah, so I'm getting that one. We got from Titan Comics, the one comic that I really love, Death Sentence hardcover.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
Surprised they're bringing out as a hardcover, but I guess that's what Titan does.
Mm-hmm. That one I know is good, though. I really enjoy that one. It's one of those ones I'm borderline on double dipping, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to keep the singles.
He's also going to get that Ordinary from...
Yeah, I'm going to try that. See where it goes.
Yeah, I think the concept is that everyone in this world has superpowers except for one guy. So he's the key to their survival.
Let's see if there's anything from Zenoscope I was getting. I think I'm getting Godstorm Hercules because I like the Greek stuff. And I'm probably going to try Helsing. Because I like the Van Helsing stuff. We'll see how that goes.
And there's a couple of booms I was getting. Translucid. What page is that on? Or boom is near the beginning, right? B.
Yeah, I was going to pass on that one.
Oh, there it is. 289. I think I'm... Oh, that's the one. Yeah, I'm going to try it at the first one. Because I read one of the other ones. This is like the singer of some band, right? Claudio Sanchez.
I have no idea. Oh, Kill... Looks like he had some other books out.
Yeah, he did Kill Audio and Key of Z, which I read Key of Z number one, and it was pretty good.
Number one. Good Lord. You don't even know this ship finishes.
I'm going to get Dead Letters number one.
Yeah, that one I'll try, I think. That looks more like in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, like a crime type book. Do you have anything else?
Image, I'm getting all the number ones.
Yeah, I'm getting all the number ones, I think, from Image.
Southern Bastards is the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, that's Jason Aaron, right?
Yeah. The Field looks interesting.
Yeah, that Field I'll get.
Shudder looks good, too.
Yeah, I'll get Shudder. Well, I like all those books. I enjoy people working on them, like Jason Aaron. Field is Ed Brisson and Simon Roy art. I like them. Joe Keating is doing Shudder, so.
I wasn't sure about Dream Police because that's already been published.
And oh, really? I don't
know if this is a reprint.
Who published it originally?
I'll find out here. I
didn't know that. It didn't say anything about it being published before.
It was published by Icon. So, Icon is a Marvel imprint.
You know, Straczynski?
Isn't it? Isn't Icon a Marvel imprint?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I own it, and I didn't want to buy it if it was... Well, I guess this is a different one because the artist is different.
Okay.
The first one was by Mike Diodato Jr.
So Straczynski must have... Well, Icon, I think, is the creator-owned Marvel, right?
Yeah.
So he's just continuing the story, I guess, or
so I will rebooting get it. It's not a reprint. I could have sworn it wasn't a one-shot. I thought it was a ongoing. I don't remember anything about it. That's not good.
So the original one was a one-shot?
Yeah. 2005.
And then there's Genesis one-shot written by Nathan Edmondson. I'll probably get that.
They're self-obsessed.
Who's self-obsessed?
Sin of Grace.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get that. That's his, like,
autobiographical stuff.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Shotgun Wedding sounds pretty cool. Like, if it's a... I hope it's, like, a B-film type thing.
Yeah, that's weird. They're releasing all four issues, like, weekly.
I noticed that Black... Whatever that Niles company is doing that too with another book.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Black Mask is doing it.
Yeah. They did four last month and they're doing four again this month.
I don't know what the advantage of that is, but.
I don't know.
Apparently there is some. And then.
They'll get people that buy issue one to buy four of them. Maybe.
Well, maybe just that. People won't forget about it. If they read number one and like it, then the next week they go back and there's number two. They'll be like, oh, cool.
Yeah, but I think with those, you have to pre-order them. And I don't know if a lot of comic shops are going to do that.
Get all four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you figure the shops, they prefer the other way where they can see how the sales are in number one and then adjust their subsequent orders. And then on page 217, my pick of the month, of course, the Glory Complete Saga hardcover, which I can't wait for. Oversized hardcover, Ross Campbell art.
Ooh. What are you doing there? Sounds like you're filing your nails as you're doing previews.
I'm Caressing.
Oh, is you're talking about Glory?
The page. The long page. And then Lazarus, Volume 2, which I still have to read Volume 1, so. And then there's one I'm not sure. So this page, I'm not sure what I'm going to get the next page. Because there's Pretty Deadly, Volume 1. I was going to ask you about that. Have you read the first 5 issues yet?
I read the first 4 and jumped the hell off.
Okay. But you said it was getting good, right?
You might like it. I mean, it. You like things that are different than I like.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so confusing. I still don't know what the fuck is going on after 4 issues. I like the art. It's good art.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be read better in the trade because you'll be able to follow along. Although you read all the issues probably in a row anyway.
Yeah, pretty close.
And then there's... I might get that, though, because it's a $9.99 cover price on that trade, so it's a cheap one. And then there's 3, which I'm not sure if I'm going to get that one or not.
I like that one.
Are you still reading that?
Yeah.
Because I read the first one, and I liked the first one. I wasn't sure where the story was going to go exactly, though. Well, it follows that group of people, right?
Mm-hmm. That was the soldiers in 300, the Spartans. But it follows more like, I think, the slaves that were around that time.
Yeah. And then Velvet Volume 1, I'll get that. Are you still reading that one?
Yeah, but I haven't read issue 3 or past 3.
So that's the one with the female spy agent who is by day a secretary and is an undercover spy. And even the association she works for no one knows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff there. I don't know if I have much other things.
Any Marvels? Marvel Nows?
Yeah, I haven't decided on those. Marvel has a bunch of number ones, though, so I'll probably get the Amazing Spider-Man one. I don't know about Iron Fist. Because I don't know... Has Kare Andrews written anything before?
Yeah, I just don't remember anything.
Did he write that one Spider-Man miniseries that he did? I don't know if he wrote it or just drew it.
Let me see if I can find out what he's done.
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with it. I like his art, but I'm not familiar with his writing, at least that I remember.
I thought he was an artist.
Yeah, he is an artist.
I didn't know he wrote anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's see what we could find out about him writing. How does this spell his second name?
Andrews.
No, his first name, sorry. K?
K-A-A-R-E.
Oops. Damn it. I clicked on the one before it. Shit. And now my program says not responding. Thank you.
One false move. And so.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Drum roll, please. We got some A plus X, which is the Avengers
that he wrote.
Plus X. Yeah. Raggedy Ann and Andy, first series. Spider-Man, Legend... Maybe this is the one you're talking about. Legend of the Spider-Clan? Spider-Man Reign, that's probably the one you're talking about. That's what I was
thinking of, yeah.
Tangled Web, Thundercats, Battle of the Planets, and X-Men Unlimited.
Okay, so he has written some stuff. I might get that. Then there's Elektra, number one.
Yeah.
Which the interior art looks pretty interesting by Michael DeMundo.
I'm going to try it. I think I'm going to get that one off the shelf. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've been trying a lot of them off the shelf, but we'll see. So far, I'm going to continue with Black Widow. I like the Punisher well enough.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another new Hulk number one. Has there been a lot of Hulk number ones? It seems like...
No, it's just that you just deal with a lot of number ones. You're like the specialist. If you were on Toy Hunter, they would like say, well, we got to call Bill Bomer for the number one issue.
I hear there's a guy who gets just number one issues.
Just number ones. Yeah, we need to track this guy down. Let's drive to his house. He's got a full collection of number ones. He never completes the story.
Then there's X-Men Legacy number one, which I think they renamed, didn't they?
What is that one about?
It's about Nightcrawler. Oh. I think it might be just Nightcrawler number one now. Let me look.
That one probably just try.
Yeah, let's see. It says, yeah, it's Nightcrawler number one now.
How come you're not watching Curling?
I'm DVRing it.
Oh, you're DVRing it?
Yeah, it's in the Betamax. Don't spoil it for me.
Bill said don't spoil it. Bill's all into sports nowadays. Yeah. He thinks curling is where the girls grow their curls.
They curl their hair?
They curl their hair.
It was big in the 50s, I hear.
How many rollers can you put in your hair?
Yeah, don't tell me if she beats the record. I know the Argentinian woman is favorite.
700 rollers in her hair. How did that happen?
Man, how many number ones are there? Inhuman number one.
Yeah.
If I might get that, that's Charles Soule writing it.
Yeah. You should jump on that.
Which I don't understand that guy. He must be like some kind of superhero.
I think he just wants his paychecks, man. He's like, give me a script. I'll take it. Boom.
But
get the next one. Next one. I'll write it. Boom.
But he's a lawyer by day.
Are you serious? I thought he was writing. I thought he retired his lawyer.
Did he retire?
I don't know.
I don't think he has.
He's still in the courtroom. And then he manages to write 5 titles.
I know, he's crazy. I don't know how he does it.
That's insane.
Yeah, I think he might have cut down his lawyering time. And I don't know what kind of lawyer he is. But still, dude's crazy. All new Dupe number one. I won't be getting that.
Why would you not? That falls into your wheelhouse. Slimy Dupe. Bobs and Slimy Bobs. Post-apocalyptic filming.
Well, I never read. What did he come from? X-Force?
Is that X-Statics.
What it was? Oh, X-Statics. Yeah, I never read that.
Started off in X-Force. Peter Milligan.
Yeah, Peter Milligan writing.
You could probably get that Omnibus for real cheap if you want that.
The X-Statics? X? Whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, those are different things, aren't they?
I wanted a Doctor Strange omnibus. How come I don't get one of those? How could they come out with Man Thing omnibus and Howard the Duck omnibus, but I can't get a
like the old stuff?
Yeah. I don't want an omnibus of the new stuff. I want the old stuff on omnibus.
You know, I'm surprised they haven't. Do they bring out one of those cheap things, like the essentials?
No, well, yeah, they probably have a black and white thing.
And you want the real thing.
The Masterwork thing is expensive. Those Masterworks. I think the Doctor Strange one is like $220.
Dang.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's collectible?
Yeah.
There's an Infinity Gauntlet omnibus?
Yeah, you can get on that.
I remember when that was coming out. That was very popular at the time. Back in the, was it 90s or 80s? Infinity Gauntlet. 80s?
80s.
I remember that. That was very popular. I think that's all I'm getting from Marvel. I've been getting a lot of Marvels.
Oh, what did you read?
What did I read? I don't know. Here, you can start. I'm going to flip through my stuff.
Well, since we were talking about Charles Soule, I will talk about She-Hulk.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet.
This was a pretty good issue. I liked it. It established the status quo of the book, and it's very simple. Like, it sets up everything that I think is going to be in the book, where she's more established lawyer. But this book opens up where she's a lawyer for a firm, and she's going in for her yearly review, like to see if she gets a raise or not. And these assholes are mostly, even though she had logged, I guess lawyers log so many hours in the courtroom and all that shit. She had logged like a lot of hours in the courtroom and made the company a lot of money. They didn't look at that as like a good thing, because they had hired her only for trying to bring in big clientele, in like Reed Richards or Tony Stark and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They didn't want her to handle just everyday cases. So they pretty much say, well, she said, we're not going to give you a raise, but you need to go after these big, other big cases. And she kind of just says, fuck you guys, which is the right thing to do. Like, she's just frustrated. She worked hard and she's not getting a good paycheck out of it. So she leaves that, and then she goes to the bar and she meets somebody that wants to hire her to go after Tony Stark for a patent on the repulsor technology. And then it takes off from there. But he's a good writer. You know, he writes some good stuff, and he gets enough plot points in there to make you want to come back for some more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that.
The art is not to my... it looks like Michael Adler art type.
Yeah.
Kind of like the FF art. If you like that, which...
Who's the artist on
it? I don't hate it. Gosh, I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me. Let me see. I probably don't even have it in here, because it just came out this week. It's hot off the presses. Yeah, I don't have it in my database yet. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Javier...
Pulido?
Yeah, Pulido. Mr. Pulido.
It's a good sequential art. It's just not something that I really like.
It's not your favorite style, yeah.
So that was good. And then why don't you pick something? Do you have something?
Sure. I will do... How about this one? Juice Squeezers number one.
Ah.
By, I think, written and drawn by David Laffoum.
I did not get that because I thought it was all ages, and I was like, I don't want to read an all ages Laffoum book.
Yeah, I think it is an all ages Laffoum book. It's good. It's about, it kind of sets it up in this small town where it starts out where there's these kids who are coming out of these tunnels into the high school, and they're covered with some goo, and they're talking about the adventure they just had. And then you learn that, and then there's these new people who move into town to this property that no one's lived on for like 100 years. And you learn that this town has been overrun by these bugs, and these kids, it almost seems like the kids have some kind of powers where they were able to kill the bugs in this town. So their job is to kill these bugs, and the property that the new people moved in on, no one has lived there because they've blocked people from moving in there. But over time, I guess it's like a big secret And over time, the people who knew the secret aren't in power anymore and have died off. So now the new people are in charge of the town, and they open the property up for sale. So this new a father and son, like a scientist and his son, have moved in there. It's good. I mean, it is all ages, but it was well done. I mean, it's Laugham, so it was pretty well done. And I like the art a lot. So it's not, I mean, if you're looking for Avatar Laugham, that's not what you're going to find, but but it certainly it was a fun read, so I'll probably pass it on to my daughter so she can read it. But I mean, it's always good to have all ages books, and it's an all ages book, but it also has some gross stuff in it too, so it's not like a little kid book.
Yeah,
it's more gruesome than that.
Like Crossed.
Yeah, it's like Crossed for kids. You put that on the title. You can quote me on that, DC or Dark Horse. Put that on your cover. That would probably sell some books.
Where are you in the Crossed world? Like,
I actually did read some Crossed.
What trade are you in?
I'm reading Volume 7, which is 29 through 36.
Okay, you're about where I started, I think. And then I got to like 46.
Okay. And so this month I could talk about it. I read the first arc, which must have been 29 through 33, which is Quisling by Christos Gage. And this is a good story. I like this one. I mean, it's Christos Gage, so I love the art. I love the writers they've been getting for this series, man.
Well, yeah, they got Cy Spurrier, Christos Gage, Laugham, David Hein, Garth Ennis.
Yeah, they're killing it. So this one's about this. The main character is this guy who's an anthropologist, and it starts out where he's been studying the Crossed. And he's trying to figure out if there's a way to beat them. So he's been studying their behavioral patterns to try and figure out how they can survive in this world. And I guess in his
he's a fucking prick.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say.
Well, it takes a while to get there. So he discovers that he notices that there's one particular Crossed who seems to be leading the others. And he ends up meeting this one Crossed leader, and he decides that the best way for him to survive is to work with the Crossed and help the Crossed find humans.
Yeah, because this Crossed seems to have
intelligence,
and the other Crossed obey him. He's a firefighter, and he carries a huge axe.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a huge guy, and he carries like a little girl on his head. It's weird.
Yeah, they never really explained that, did they?
He's
carrying this little girl around. Yeah, but whereas the other Crossed can't control their impulses, like if they want something, if they want to kill something, they're going to kill. Or if they want to hurt themselves because they want to feel pain, then they'll do that. Or if they want to screw something, they'll screw whatever's closest to them. But this guy is able to see that he doesn't have to go for it. Like, he doesn't have to kill someone right away. He knows if he wants to make them suffer, he'll like just chop off their arms and then watch them suffer and then move on to their legs. So he's more sadistic, and he can prolong his he doesn't need immediate gratification. He can wait. He has patience, where none of the other Crossed have any sort of patience.
He just likes to torture them.
Yeah, he likes torturing everyone. And I don't know why the other Crossed follow him, but they do for some reason.
Oh, because he'll kill them?
That's true.
There's been a couple of Crossed that try to say, fuck this. They try to go ape shit on him, right? And he just... He has the intelligence, like, even to, like... One day he was reading the anthropologist's diary or his little notes, and he was documenting the two girls that I think Crystal Gaskades wrote that were in Florida.
Yeah, the two twins.
That had some showed some evidence of intelligence within the crossed.
Right.
So he was worried about that because he's like, man, this guy can read my diary. And that's when he starts to second guess what he's doing because he has no – he's so much of – I get his character to be so like into his occupation, like so much into the study of humanistic behavior and what they're doing.
Yeah, he's almost fascinated by them too.
That he's fascinated by them and he doesn't like second guess like what he's doing because he just his whole job now is to lead the cross to find more people. He like radios them in. Hey, I need some help. Bring in the military. And sure enough, they come in helicopters and then the cross
attack. He was just doing that more for self-preservation though.
Yeah, I mean, after he was caught. He was caught because of that stupid bitch he was with. Wanted to fuck him right in front of the window with a flashlight.
Yeah. And then they end up going to this military base. Because he wants to go there because he figures...
Oh, Cheyenne Mountain.
Yeah, that's up your way, right?
Colorado Springs, yeah.
Oh, is it Colorado Springs?
Yeah.
So you got to see the crust in Colorado Springs.
That's right.
And they, because he leaves them there because he decides that, okay, I've made a mistake. I need to kill this guy. So he figures if he goes to the military base, there'll be weapons and I'll be able to kill him. But of course, everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
And then I like how it left it off where now there's this intelligent crust and... He knows what the humans are planning on doing, so he's a threat now. And if he finds other smart crust, then we're all in trouble.
Well, yeah. There was even more trouble. Where he betrayed this cop. There was this cop and this woman that always would stand up for this guy. And mm-hmm. He betrayed him. They killed the cop like almost immediately, but they kept the girl around and... The one firefighter made him rape her or have sex with her before he turned her into the crossed. And, like, she shat herself. So she was like, she forced herself to shit herself so he wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But she turned into be like.
She was kind of a smart one, too, right?
Yeah, she hated him. She still had his hatred for him. Like.
Yeah, that's what she. Kept.
She always kept that with her, but I don't think she kept, like, she would still lose it. Like, if that firefighter didn't keep...
Oh, yeah, she would have done bad things to him.
She would have fucked that guy up. That firefighter was the only guy keeping that guy alive.
Right, and every time someone tried to kill him, he would kill them first.
Yeah, which means that did you finish that trade before that one with the Garth Ennis? The one about religion?
I think that's the one I'm missing. I think that's the one I'm missing.
That was the deepest cross that I've ever read.
Yeah, like, I still need to read that one.
It was fucked up. I mean, it was really fucked up. I mean, Garth Ennis seems to be the more tame one of the writers.
The group, yeah.
He seems to at least have this over... This one had a lot of, like, religion in it, like, because this had a priest that was taking care of kids.
Okay.
And they almost beat the shit out of the priest. These British soldiers almost beat the crap out of him because he thought this priest was like painting their faces with crossed on them. And he was teaching the kids to just say, fuck, 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 fuck. So they would like try to ignore them.
But the
soldiers saw the cross guys coming towards them to the kids. And he's like, you dumbass. That doesn't work. It's weird because some of the writers have done some similar stuff and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But usually when it works, it's when they actually take like the intestines and stuff of old crossed or whatever and they...
Or put them around their neck.
Right, this guy was just painting them on there.
Yeah. Well, and they did that in this one too.
Yeah, they did.
The Gage one.
That one seemed to work somewhat, right? I mean...
Yeah, it worked for them.
That was, but they were using, they would like go find a body outside and then get the.
Yeah, it was real blood.
It was real blood. So it's almost like The Walking Dead when what's his name went and got, you know, all they smothered their whole body in the stink of the dead.
Yeah.
But it is weird because these soldiers are on a march to go to like the British CDC, if you will, and release contagion to kill everything. Do you know what I mean? Like they're like, we could kill everything. We could kill the cross and just let these contagions out. And it just has a weird ending. I don't want to give it away because that's key to the issue, but
yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I gotta find that. See, my problem with Cross is I can't just leave him lying around.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you. How do you spare that?
Well, my kids aren't old enough to. Well, I got so many comics that.
I don't think your kids will ever be old enough to read the comics.
That's a good point.
I don't think we're old enough to read Crossed.
I don't know if anyone is old enough to read Crossed. Yeah, so what? So my volume 6, I know I have it. It's just, I don't know where I hid it.
Kid's bed or whatever. I gotta
look under my mattress or something.
Where did you hide it?
Gotta look at my hiding places. Like my porn I can find, that's easy, but that's my Crossed... super hidden.
Yeah, wait till you get to the Cy Spurrier, the motorcycle guys. That's a pretty interesting story too. There's
I might have read that one.
The Cy Spurrier one was.
Oh, is it a newer one?
Well, it's after this one, after the trade you just read.
Okay.
It's about. This one, like, Hell's Angel type motorcycle dude, one drug addict and a pregnant woman. Have you read that one yet?
I don't think so. I read the one with the motorcycle guys and the circus freaks.
Oh, yeah, that one's earlier.
Yeah.
Did you read the one before? Maybe it was before, or is it after? The Laugham ones where, you know how there's that one, the two survivors that Laugham keeps around? Lori and the girl. Yeah. I can't remember the girl. Did you read the one where the girl was with those three crazy fuckers?
I don't remember.
One guy thought he was a knight. The other guy is like a naked caveman. And then.
No. I think that might be the one before the Ennis one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't read
so
that
you don't
one
have
yet.
All the. You don't read them in order?
I do, except for when I lose one.
Oh, you lost two, probably.
Well, the trades are collecting. Lately, the trades have collected two arcs. So they look thicker. They're thicker and they. It's actually a pretty good deal because it's like $20, but it collects like 8 issues or whatever. Yeah, 8 issues. Because this one collects. Oh, wait, maybe it's in this one. The second story in this one is a Laugham one.
Oh, you haven't read the second part yet?
No, I haven't read the second part yet. Maybe that's the one you're talking
about. That's the one I'm talking about.
It's called Breakdown.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see the guys.
Yeah.
That's yeah, it's about a woman up. And.
She's become just as bad as that Lori guy. That's why
okay,
she's.
So she's the guy who. Or she's the girl who was with Lori.
Yeah, that Lori cut off her arm. Her hand, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sick. Bastard.
So he's just continuing the.
He keeps continuing the storyline.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So there are some survivors that live, but a lot of writers don't. Cy Spurrier tends to keep some survivors, and so does Laugham.
Laugham. And it seems like I think Gage is keeping some crossed around.
Yeah. Laugham.
Not the people, but.
Keeps them. He keeps the only the guys that are sicker than the cross to be alive. Do you know what I mean? In order to survive in this world, you have to become.
Sicker than the cross.
Sicker than the cross. Yeah. I like the crossed. I like that it rotates too because each one of them does do different things. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't get the flavored, the style doesn't ever get, you don't get tired of it because they, as soon as you finish an arc, there's another one.
Right. So it's a different take on the, take and on the world in a different
approach. Oh yeah, it's that guy writing.
Yeah, no, it is. I do enjoy that as well. And I think that's the reason. Well, obviously, that's the reason they can bring it out so often too.
Yeah.
Is this still weekly?
It's every other week, 2 a month.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah, 2 a month.
Yeah, I'm almost caught up. I got about 10 to go, but I tend to like have those upstairs and I read them before bed. I got a bad idea, but
so you have fun dreams. Yeah, and I still have to read. I'm behind on Wish You Were Here.
Wish You Were Here, yeah. And I didn't read the special that you talked about last week.
Yeah, the annual. Yeah.
Still got to read that one. So, I read Superman Unchained.
Ah.
2 through 5, which is a 9-issue ongoing by Scott Snyder and Jim Lee. And it is absolutely fantastic. It's a really good Superman story. The first issue I read, I think I gave like a 3 out of 5. And then I never came back to it because I was like, I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
It seemed really wordy and there wasn't a lot going on. And I sat down and read like 2 through 5 and it was just amazing. There's so many plot twists and Snyder is really, really good. I'd recommend reading this like in one shot. So like if you could get the trade and just read all 9 issues, it's probably like will be freaking awesome. Like I still got to read 6, 7, 8, and 9, but they're not out yet.
Yeah.
Jim Lee's having a hard time keeping. So sometimes.
Yeah, I thought they had shipping delays on that one.
Yeah, they have had shipping delays, and they also announced it was ending. So the final issues in our latest previews.
Okay.
But it is amazing. It deals with really complex storylines, and it has General Lane. It's got Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, Lex Luthor, this thing called the Wraith, which is awesome. Like you always wonder, like how could they create something that could take on Superman? Well,
right.
He created a character that works for the military. That came from a planet very similar to Krypton, and he's been absorbing the sun for, you know, since the 40s or, you know, whenever, what do you call it, Area 51 or whatever was done. He's been around since then, and the military have kept him around to do various things, but he's very classified or secret. And he's way more experienced than Superman, but... It is real complex, and then Lex Luthor breaks out of jail, and he captures Jimmy Olsen, who's rich now, like his parents gone missing, so they assume they're dead, and the inheritance of the Olsen family is like, I think, in the billions, so he's like filthy rich, and Lex Luthor goes to him, and he tells him, I want you to tell me how Superman's going to die, because Superman's going to die. And he has to guess how he's going to die, and he says it's going to die by Jimmy Olsen's hands, which is going to be an interesting plot point there. And then there's this technology group that used to be military that wants to get rid of all technology or devolve society, kind of like in Ra's al Ghul's style, but they're doing it with technology, so that makes it really interesting. And they have these like crystals that can do various things, and there's just so many plot subplots, and they're all tying together. They all have like little relationships to each other, and it's moving along at a really good pace.
Cool. Yeah, no, I read the first one, but it was a while ago. So.
I didn't like it either. I mean,
I don't think I disliked it, but...
But if you were holding off because, like, you didn't... You thought it was okay, but you like Batman, Scott Snyder, you read that, right?
Yeah.
You'll like this Superman, I think. Like, it's worth getting it in trade.
Yeah, I like his stuff, except for... I never liked the endings of his stories.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to end. I can't tell you that. What else you got?
I got... Here, I'll do this one. A Marvel book, Seekers of the Weird, number one. Which is a Disney book. Which was... I think it's inspired by... Here, let me... Yeah, here it is. So the Museum of the Weird was a collection of creepy curiosity unearthed from around the globe. It was a creation of legendary Imagineer Raleigh Crump. He originally designed the odd artifacts for the Haunted Mansion, but once Walt Disney saw them, he just thought they deserved to be spotlighted in their own as a separate walkthrough attraction in connection with the mansion. But then, I guess, Walt Disney died, and it never came into being. So it was it's based on a concept that was going to be an attraction at Disney, but was never made.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, that's why
you sold me on that, but I didn't buy it.
Just from the idea. Now it's written by Brandon Seaford, who has done some other stuff, but I can't remember what. With art by Carl Moline. So it's about this family where there's these two kids who are like in high school, and their parents own this like curio store called Keep It Weird, where they sell a bunch of weird antiquity type things. And I don't remember exactly. Yeah. So one day the kids come home and they're studying or whatever, and they hear a bunch of noise from downstairs, and they run down and see their parents fighting off all these weird creatures. And then the creatures grab their parents and take off. So the kids are like, what in the world's going on? And then their uncle, who they've only heard about, appears and tells them that the family history that their parents were involved in all this weird stuff, and all the oddities in the museum are actually real, or in the store are actually real. And they go down to this basement, which is the Museum of the Weird, where they have all these like cryptoid type bones and things like that. And then I think that I can't remember, something happens, and then the kids get pulled in. So now they need to go on this adventure to try and get back their parents from where they've been taken by these weird creatures. And it was well done. It was a fun story, and I like the art a lot. So it was cool. That's from Marvel.
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't try it. I didn't know it was based on a Disney ride or something.
Disney ride that never was. I don't know what they did with all this stuff. Let me see if it says here. That doesn't say. I'm guessing that Disney used the stuff he created, probably just used it in the Haunted Mansion or something. Yeah, interesting concept, though, for a book.
Yeah, sounds cool. Let's see, what else did I look at? I started to, believe it or not, I never finished reading the Before Watchmen books.
Okay.
at least most of them. I think I finished Night Owl and maybe one other one. And I just finished Ozymandias, or I can't even pronounce his name. That, man, these books are so freaking good. If you're a fan of Watchmen or a fan of the movies, they just add so much. Like, they don't do half-assed. They have great creators, you know, that I think love the property. And the only two I finished were Night Owl and Rorschach, and now I'm going through and finishing. I just finished The Comedian. I just finished Silk Spectre and Dollar Bill. Well, that was an interesting one. And now I'm working on Minutemen and Ozymandias. I just finished that one. And I have Dr. Manhattan and Moloch to finish, which I'll probably finish today. But I just want to say I'm just glad these things exist, man, because they just add so much more depth. Like, it makes you care about the original, at least for me, I'm talking personally. Mm-hmm. I'm not like a Alan Moore apologist, or I don't sympathize with that crazy man. So I like his work, but I think he's nuts, man. When he lives in squalor because he's stupid, when he could really be making money off of stuff, he refuses to. But if you stand by his principles, I mean, that's fine. But I enjoy these books, and I think the creators that wrote them love the properties. I would love this stuff to just be an ongoing. Like, I'd love a comedian ongoing, because that guy's like, the comedian is so complex, because he's almost portrayed as a villain, like somebody that would rape, kill almost anything. But it's almost like he has a vision that everything's going to go to shit. So that's why his attitude is the way it is. And God, it's just good stuff. I'd recommend all of them. I'm liking them all pretty much equally.
That's cool. I think I only read the first issues of a bunch of those.
You should go get the trades. I really wish they'd collect it like one big. You know how they have the Watchmen and the Absolute?
Yeah.
I wish I could get an Absolute before Watchmen.
Yeah, they collected them weird, didn't they? They like.
They collected them like in three. Like, you could get Night Owl and Rorschach together. You can get, you know, yeah, Manhattan and somebody else. But you got like Darwin Cook, and I mean, you got a lot of great creators there. Straczynski, Azzarello. I mean, just and fantastic art. And the mood doesn't change. Like, it really adds. It's really material that adds on to the existing story, even though it's happening before. Because in Watchmen, it's all over the place. You know, you go to the future, the past. You're learning about this mystery, and this just fills in a lot more of it. And in Watchmen, you hardly ever know much about the Minutemen. Like, the characters that came before the Watchmen, and the legacy that drew, you know, created the Watchmen was, you know, the Minutemen. And if I remember correctly, I think, you know, the Watchmen were based on all the Charlton characters, so like Question, Captain Atom, all those, you know, Blue Beetle, Nightshade. Well, the Minutemen, I think, were based on the Archie characters, so like the Fly and, you know, all those, you know, the Shield, all those characters. And you can see how, you know, they're adapted. But, man, it just, I get emotional when I read some of them, because they're just written so well. They're it's just good stuff. I can't believe I waited this long to finish them.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't finish them before.
No, because I liked them back. I liked them a lot back then. It's just that I start filling my box of unread material, and I was like,
piled up.
Yeah, the Superman stuff piled up too, and I was like, man, I gotta get caught up on these, because the box is getting too big of unread material. And I was like, I just read a lot of DC, and it was good comics that I've read. These before Watchmen are just really good.
Cool. I read one that's kind of, that's older as well. I think I must've picked it up in a bin along the way. A1 number one. I know you read this and talked about it before. Right?
I know it's Titan, but I don't know if I read it.
I thought you did.
I don't think I did. Okay. I think I own it. It's an anthology.
Yeah, A1's their anthology, which originally it came out. They did have A1 in America in the 80s, I think. because I remember buying it. I know I own the old series or some of the old series, but this is the reboot of it. This contains three stories. The Weirding Willies, Carpe Diem, and Odyssey. I want to talk mostly. I just want to talk about the first one because that was the one I liked the most. And there, I looked there, bringing out a collection of it. It's the Weirding Willies, the House of Dr. Moreau, and it's the art was really good. It's by Barnaby Bagenta or Bagenta. It's kind of a. Oh, I can't remember the dude's name. Ah! Yeah, forget it. I was going to say who the art looks like, but I can't remember the dude's name.
You didn't write it in a script?
No, that's what the script says. I can't remember.
I can't remember his name.
It's a... Goddamn! Nah. I can't remember his name. Anyway. The art's really good. I liked it. So the story's interesting because it's one of those fairy tale combination type things. So it's a story with Alice in Wonderland, Dr. Moreau. Who else was in this?
The Island of Dr. Moreau?
The guy. Yeah, the Island of Dr. Moreau guy. Who else was in this? But anyway, so the main character is, I believe, Alice from Alice in Wonderland. And she's at this weird place where I think it's Dr. Moreau is collecting all these different animals and experimenting on them. And he has on his table a flying monkey. So from The Wizard of Oz, this flying monkey he's studying and operating on. And then it's a while since I read this. I can't remember exactly what her... what her thing is. But anyway, you see some rabbits coming. Some rabbits come and they're appearing. They're across the lake watching Alice, saying that they need her, that they have to bring her back so she can help them. And then at the end, they introduce a couple of new characters and they show that Dr. Moreau has gotten this new shipment. And it's a tiger and this bear. And then you see... there's a kind of a native type guy who's come along with them, like hiding, who's followed the shipment overseas. And he goes, Baloo and Bagheera. So it's the, what is that thing called? No, I can't remember. What's that? They did a Disney Lion. No, not Lion King.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
No, Baloo.
Baloo is the... Jungle Book.
Yeah, Jungle Book, that's it. So it's the Jungle Book.
Hey, it's like a puzzle. This whole review is like a...
fill in the blanks.
I feel like I'm doing a Rubik's Cube here.
Mike, what does that say in the next line in the script? So it's kind of like... it's taking all the public domain characters and mashing them together like they've done with... like Xenoscope's done it and... it's been done before, but it was well done. It was well written, and I enjoyed it. So I'll probably pick up the collection of that once it comes out.
Yeah, I'll definitely go indie next week. This week's been all DC.
All DC.
I don't think I read any indie books. Oh, Crossed, of course. Well, I did finish Dynamite's Lords of Mars.
Okay.
That was a good one. It's a crossover between Tarzan and John Carter, Warlord of Mars. That was interesting, and it ended kind of like Tarzan's still on Mars, so how's he going to get back home kind of thing. But I'd rather much read Lord of the Jungle, you know, where Tarzan is in his own thing rather than crossing over.
Yeah.
The A1 covers look amazing, though. I have to say,
whoever they get the covers.
Cover artist is they remind me a lot of the other book that we're reading with the drug that makes them superpowers.
Yeah, the death sentence.
Death sentence. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's not. This is Stanley Art Germ Lau.
That guy's amazing. He draws a lot of covers for DC, like Birds of Prey and Catwoman, and he does a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a painter. Yeah, they're nice. I guess there are different covers, maybe. I don't know. Were there alternate covers for this?
I think so. I think they come in twos.
Yeah, they show three different ones. But I'm sure the one you're talking about is the main one, which is
The painted one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's real nice. Okay, I got one more I want to talk about. It's a trade, a collection, a hardcover, WYSIWYG by Ed Piskor, or Piskor, I don't know how you say his name.
You know, I bought those at a con, and I never read them, like trades.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me know tell me about it.
So there were trades of this? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had taken... What company publishes them now?
Top Shelf, I think.
Yeah, before I had bought them at Heroes or Baltimore. I always get the two cons confused because
he's a Baltimore or Heroes.
Yeah, they on Sundays is when I like do a lot of shopping, and like right before closing, like you could get good deals or whatever, and I tend to just walk by and buy a lot of independent stuff, and I bought those. But I never read them.
Okay.
And that was before the publisher started, Top Shelf started publishing it. They were his own, you know.
Right,
what I mean?
He just self-published them. Yeah. And I know he's friends with Tom Scioli because they always sit together at Heroes.
Yeah, I think that's why I bought them. They were right, you know, I kept seeing them.
Yeah, well, every time you go talk to Tom, he's right there. So.
And I'm like a stalker. I'm like right there all the time.
So you got to, and you can't miss him because he always wears like some kind of hat or something. So this is about, it's a fictionalized account of hacking based on real world people, but I think it's based on some real world hackers that got in trouble, but this is a fictional account of that with a fictional character. So he kind of took real world stories and kind of made a fictional story out of it. So the one in this is Kevin Boinkthump Phoenicle. I don't know how you say that. So it starts out, first off, it's really good. It's a really very good read. I like his art a lot. He spends a lot of time on his art. It's like he's one of those guys like Tom where it's like they're spending a lot of time on their art and you know that they're not getting paid enough for it.
Yeah.
So it's like you see it and you almost feel bad because it's like, man, all the time he spent on this and I know he's not getting the money he deserves to get for all the work that they're putting into it. So buy more comics, people. So this follows the story of this Kevin guy from his youth in the, I guess he's about our, I'd say he's like our age. So in the 70s and then growing up through the 80s. And so he starts out when he's young, he discovers how to hack the phone system, like pay phones. Cause there was a time when you could do it was based on tones. So you could do a certain tone and it would give you credit. Like it would think that you put a quarter in. And I think that he discovered that he could produce that tone with his mouth. He could produce the perfect tone that would give you give you credit in the phone. So he started doing that. And then it goes on where someone made a device that you could use to get credits on the pay phones. And then of course, as it goes on, he starts getting into computers and becomes a hacker and he actually creates, he puts a, like a, not really a virus, but I guess it's a virus, but not what's it called? Not a bad virus that does bad things. It just pops something up on the screen. He puts it in this game. Cause this is back in the day, people used to copy games on their onto floppies and then trade them around. So you get copies of games from people.
Uh-huh.
And your collection would be mostly just copies of games. So he put his like little hack into the game where every 500 games or 500 times or whatever the computer was rebooted, it would take over the screen. It would say you've been hacked by whatever. And then that ends up getting out in the world, and so he like created like the first virus. And then it gets into his he starts doing hacking and trying to figure out ways to make money off hacking and coming up with phone scams and things like that. And eventually, and then the police are after him, and then the FBI is after him, and he goes on the run and stuff. It's a really interesting story, and it's a good take on it, and it's also interesting from the perspective of looking at the history of technology, kind of, and the history of hacking and all the. I think it was interesting just from a technology perspective, especially having lived through all that those times, so to see how the technology progressed, and then. You know, I was never into the hacking side of it, so it was interesting to see what these guys were doing, unbeknownst to me.
Yeah,
they were working the system from behind, and at first when the government and stuff and different agencies and companies started putting stuff online, like before, I think it was before there was an internet. Uh-huh. He was able to when we just had like BBSs and stuff.
Yeah.
He was able to hack into some of these systems.
Like Prodigy and
yeah, back when
AOL
we just had,
and
yeah, it wasn't even before AOL when we just had like
I remember Prodigy.
Yeah, there was I remember Prodigy.
And then there was something before Prodigy. Prodigy was like the first one that I subscribed to dial in.
Yeah, I don't remember what the first dial in we had was. But I remember bulletin boards because I used to go to a couple of bulletin boards.
Yeah, that's like that was like where you'd hang out. Like you could find a topic and just post a bunch of shit.
Yeah, it was basically like forums. You dial up the number for the bulletin board and connect to their forum, and then you could browse the forum and all text based stuff and post. I think you could chat too, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could chat.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So he was able to break into different companies because this is the companies will put stuff like this on their network where if you knew the phone number, you could connect to it. But they didn't have a lot of security at that time.
Wonder what this guy's background is. Is he a computer science dude or?
Piscor, I'm not sure. I don't know if it says in here if he's just interested in it or if he. I'm sure he did some hacking like when he was younger.
How do you spell the title? WYSIWYG.
WYSIWYG. WYZZYWIG.
WIZZ. Yeah, it doesn't even show up in my database. Maybe because it's a book.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't single. It was never brought out in single issues, so.
He must have some, like, knowledge of the stuff if he's.
Yeah, did a whole book on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, he's done multiple volumes, so. But maybe what you have is the whole.
Yeah, I think this is the collection of
the whole collection of all his stuff.
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. It was a complete story, so it's good though. It was really good. That was my first thing of his I've read too, and I actually started reading his newest book, which is Hip Hop Family Tree, from Fantagraphics, which is a very in-depth look at the history of hip hop from its earliest days. And I'm about a quarter of the way through it. This is volume one. I think it's going to be three volumes, maybe. This book covers 1970 through 1981.
Hmm.
And this one is an actual biographical account of what happened. So I don't know if he cites his sources in this or not. I don't think he did. Yeah, I don't see it. But this is, like, very in-depth look at all the people and kind of the progression of hip-hop and talks about how it first started, how they're doing it on the streets, and then all the different people who were involved in it. So it's interesting from a historical perspective. I'm not intimately familiar with all the people in this, but there's obviously a lot of the names I do know. A lot of the earlier... Some of the earlier guys, like Grandmaster Flash, obviously is very well known.
Yeah, I'm not too much into hip hop, so.
Yeah. But if you're into hip hop, it's certainly good. But it's also, I got this from the library, so check out if your library has it. It is interesting, even if you're not that into it, just to see how it all progressed and how it came into being, and kind of rose in popularity. So the point I'm at now is when it still isn't popular in the mainstream, but they're starting to put some records out. Some people are starting to put records out. Some companies, of course, moved in and wanted to make money off of what these kids were doing, what these dudes were doing. It's also interesting, the pages are printed kind of like on aged, like yellowish pages to try and simulate like an older book. They're not glossy.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is they kind of tone down the colors, which I know why they did it, but I kind of wish they popped a little bit more. But it's good. It's a slow read, though, just because it's a lot of facts. So it's not really a narrative where they're following one person's story. It's just kind of facts about each person.
Says he's a graduate of Kubert School, a former student.
Okay, so he did Kubert.
Yeah, he collaborated with Harvey Pekar, American Splendor. Doesn't say here if his background. It sounds like he's more of an artist that got into cartooning, but doesn't say anything in here about like him being a hacker or computer science guy.
Now at the back of this, it says WYSIWYG was a result of his interest in computer hacking and social engineering. So yeah. I think he was just into it. That wasn't his primary thing, though. Now illustrating his love of rap music and hip-hop culture.
Very nice. I'll have to dig those up. I don't even know where they are.
Good, very slice of life.
Let's see what else Donna mentioned. Turok. Not very good. Very disappointed in that. The art I didn't like either. The artist had a way of like digital. He's got to be doing something digital with like putting in backgrounds of trees and stuff. And it made the foreground look terrible. At least I thought so. I've seen people do that before, but this one just distracted me.
That's too bad.
I'm hoping it gets better because I'm going to stick around. It's Turok. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to read through it.
So how was the writing?
It was okay. It didn't get me excited to be a Turok fan, but they make Andar and all the other guys that he's with like assholes, like a gang that was against Turok. Like they're ganging up on him. Because his family has always been, like, not popular within the tribe, I guess. But it seems like they're jumping time streams with dinosaurs and, like, British redcoats and all kinds of shit. And I don't know. Maybe it's too early to judge. I wasn't happy with Superman Unchained number one, and now I love it. So who knows? I can't do these first issue challenges because to me it needs...
You wouldn't collect anything?
You need to give a story some time to brew. I mean, some of these things are... Yeah, I didn't like initially and they turn out to be my favorite stuff. So if I just judge it on one issue, I'll never know. I mean, that could be a good thing because then you buy less, but... It's a bad thing because then you're missing out on something that you might really, really, really like.
Yeah, but hopefully I'll hear about it later that it was good and you can always go back.
Let's see if there's anything else I want to mention. Twilight Zone number 2, that was fantastic. I like that, how they flipped it. Very happy with that storyline. I imagine that it's going to be a 3-issue arc because I can't see them taking it past next issue, but we'll see. Do you want to jump to TV or do you got something else?
No, we can jump.
Let's jump. I had finished watching the Arrow show, season one, and I really liked the cliffhanger. Or it wasn't even a cliffhanger. It was almost like they could end the series if they wanted to, right there. It was just a good season finale. They left some plot things there that they could continue on with, and they had a good resolution. And I like what they did with the Merlin family and how that was resolved, and all the secrets with the mom have kind of been resolved, and Sarah might be alive, and it's a good show. It is a soap opera. And it's got a lot of pretty people that Bills doesn't like. But it is good. It's a good show. And a lot of Easter eggs. Like, if you're a DC fan, they just throw a lot of stuff out there. I absolutely love, like, the character of Shadow. You know who Shadow is? She's like that archer and that's been in Green Arrow that has that tattoo like on her body. I don't know if you ever seen images of my girl Shadow, but she's fantastic in that show. My favorite characters.
Cool. I don't remember which one she is on the show.
Don't spoil Breaking Bad, because I think you went past me.
I finished the whatever season I finished. Third? Fourth? What am I on? Fourth season?
Did you finish everything that was available?
I'm getting from the library, so.
Oh.
What season are you on?
I am on season four, I think.
Yeah, I finished four. Dang! That's a good...
But you can talk about that one finale of the one season that... Maybe that was the end of season three. Remember I told
you? Oh, yeah, the end of season. I know. Once I got to that, I was like, oh, now I need to see the next one.
Was I right or what?
Yeah, you're right. I was like, whoa. Once I saw that, I'm like, oh, now I see what Mike was talking about.
Well, that was crazy how Cranston and what's his name had to flip the game because they were going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knew he was going to get killed.
Yeah, so he was like... They're going to action away.
The Chicken Man was going to fuck their world. I swear to God. Oh my God. What a great ending.
Yeah, that was a great ending. And then, yeah, season four is awesome as well. And has a good ending too.
Yeah. Man. I got to get caught up so we can talk about it, but it's good. That show, I can't, like, I would have marathoned it through because Barb was in L.A., but that's the show she wants to watch. You know, like, she doesn't give a shit about Arrow. She's like, go ahead and watch that. Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I never watched that when I was on the air because I think I slept on the first season. And then when I heard it was good, I just never went back and caught up, so.
Yeah. I watched The New Walking Dead, and that was off to a good start. I like that show.
I don't like that show. Sure. I need to catch up on it.
Well, if you don't like it, why catch up?
Because people don't like it.
Yeah, but
I like the comic. I don't know. I just don't like any of the people on it. I don't care if they get all killed.
You want?
I hope they get killed.
Where somebody is wearing a headdress of dicks.
Maybe that's why I like Cross. Because in Cross, when there's people you don't like because they're jerks, they usually get killed. So, so you're happy. And Walking Dead, I don't like them, and they just keep living. I guess sometimes they die. Maybe it'll get better.
So what else are you watching? There has to be a Canadian show in there.
I don't think I'm watching any Canadian shows.
Well, that's a damn shame.
I know, man. I might watch Intelligence. Because that's a... It's a Canadian show, but then they made an American version with Sawyer, which I haven't watched.
Is that on instant streaming, or is that happening now? Like just starting?
Which
Intelligence,
the American one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on TV now.
But it's not like a season. It's like first season, right? It's just starting.
Yeah, it's just start. Yeah, it's like 5 or 6 episodes in, I think. I haven't seen it, but there was a Canadian version of it. It's based on the Canadian version, so I might just watch the Canadian version.
But I'm sure that our version is a better.
Ugh, I doubt it. I ruined it. Ruined it. It's probably awesome, and they just totally probably ruined it. Ruined everything good about it. What else am I watching? The new season of Downton Abbey has started.
Downtown Abbey?
We're about three episodes in, I think. 3 or 4 episodes in.
Are you sucked into that mess?
That's a fantastic show.
Ah, that's not very good.
All the ladies and the lords. You should watch that. Is that streaming? You should watch it for sure. Get on board.
I might eventually, but we'll see.
It's a good show. It's very well done.
I don't have a lot of time for TV, especially now that TV started back up, because like I have like Black Sails on the TV. We're recording that new Cinemax show with Woody Harrelson, True Detectives. We haven't started watching. Walking Dead. Bates Motel is starting up again, which we always watch that. So we're going to have that. I did see the finale of American Horror Story, The Coven. That was good. Are you still watching it, or did you give up on that one?
I don't have that channel, but I'll eventually.
Oh, that'll eventually make its way to Amazon. And
yeah, I'll watch it. I'll get to it eventually.
I really like the way it started more than the way it finished, because... Once they brought in all the powers of the witches, the resurrection power just kind of drove everything that meant anything of the show out.
Yeah.
Because you could just bring people back. I don't care for that. I wish they would have just, you know, dead men dead. It was okay at first when one of them can do it. But once all of them, I didn't care for it. So what else?
I don't think I have anything else really. Nothing new anyway.
Movies. I think I only have one. I think. I started watching the... I haven't finished the one that you talked about last week, the Loveless one.
Oh, Lovelace, yeah.
Yeah. And...
when are you going to watch
Contiki? That was interesting. Contiki. The Keith Knudsen film, A Guy on a Boat. Yeah. I'll force my way to watch that.
So, Lovelace, you started it?
I started it. It's interesting. Her parents are all...
crazy.
Conservative. At least they appear conservative at the beginning.
Yeah.
And seems a little conservative, but hooks up with this... That guy seems like an asshole. I don't like him. I don't like his character. Like, if I was a parent and they brought that fucking guy came home, I would want to murder that dude.
Stay away from my daughter.
He even acted like he was being manipulative, like phony. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't believe the parents...
Fell for it,
and then she's like supposed to be doing dishes and shit back there, and She's getting eaten out. The mother's in the room. Are you there, Linda? But I haven't got through with that one yet. But I did watch Red 2, which is the Bruce Willis and Malkovich and I can't remember the other woman that's in it. It had
Helen Mirren.
I love Helen Mirren. She's one of my favorite characters in that. And I liked it. I heard it didn't do well at the box office or the first one. But I thought it was quite enjoyable. It was very action-packed and had a lot of humor in it. So I thought that was good. It's a lot like the first one. I mean, it's a complex plot with nuclear devices and shit like that. And this one has Anthony Hopkins. He plays one of the scientists. But I watched that on DVD last night with Barb. That was good.
Yeah, I forgot. I totally forgot about that. I forgot that they made a second one.
Yeah,
it didn't last very long in the theaters.
No, if it lasted longer, I probably would have seen it because I was very fond of the first one.
Yeah, the first one was good.
And I think the first one is like a lot better, but this one's still pretty good. You know what I mean? It has a lot of good. The characters are still the characters, and I enjoyed it.
Now, the second one isn't based on a comic, right?
I don't think so. I didn't read the original Red comic by Warren Ellis and Cully Hamner.
Yeah. It's good. It's not like the movie, but it's good.
Yeah, I never read the original, so I just saw the movie and I liked it and wanted to watch the second one. So I'm sending that DVD off and I'll get another DVD. What have you watched?
I think the only thing I watched a movie called Prisoners with Hugh Jackman.
Never heard of that.
It's with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. It's where Hugh Jackman's daughter and his neighbor, played by, what's that dude's name? Terrence something? Terrence Howard? Is that who it was? I have to look. I believe that's who it was. Their daughters go missing, and then they need to... Yeah, Terrence Howard. Their daughters go missing one night, I think it's after Thanksgiving dinner, and they're trying to find them. And it's interesting because the Hugh Jackman character decides... Well, so they end up getting a... There was a RV in front of the house where earlier in the day the girls were climbing up on the RV and their older brother and sister got them to get down and went into the house. But they noticed that there was someone in the RV. And then after the girls go missing, they noticed the RV wasn't there anymore. So they eventually tracked down the owner of the RV. And he's this like mentally challenged guy. Kid.
Yeah, I know which movie you're talking about now.
Okay.
I kind of want to watch that.
Yeah.
I didn't know Hugh Jackman was in it, though.
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Huh.
And then Hugh Jackman is convinced that this kid took the girl, so he tries to get the truth out of this kid. And it goes from there. It's good, though. It was well done.
Is that at the library, too?
Yeah, that was at the library.
Library.
I did watch... I don't know if I talked about it. I finally watched the Wolverine movie. I didn't like it that much.
Come on!
It was okay, but I liked
the first one better. I thought it was entertaining. You liked the first one better?
Yeah.
The Wolverine Origins?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know exactly what I didn't like about this one, but I don't know.
All Anything else?
I don't have any other movies.
I got to read some more comics today because I'm just shy of 40.
Uh-oh.
I got to read some more.
What are you going to read next?
I'm going to finish the Before Watchmen.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to get caught up in Superman. The proper title.
Superman proper? Who's doing that now?
Superman proper is... good God. Lobdell and
okay.
Rucafert. But it seems like there's a lot of artists alternating in and out. But Keith Rockefeller's art is amazing. His panel layouts are so different. And I don't know. I really like his style. He's like my favorite Superman artist right now.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of for the A1 story. Rockefeller. Yeah, it's kind of like Rockefeller art.
Really?
Bit. Yeah, and the way it's like colored.
I'll have to see. He's got definitely a unique layout, and he's got such a style that you'd know if it was his artwork. Like,
yeah, it's
which is a very unique style, whereas the other two come in and out, and I can't tell the difference. But I'm not an art guy. Like, I don't pay a lot of attention to the
yeah, you just
art,
know if
unless
it
stands if out.
It appeals to you or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not like a Vince B who analyzes every line and
studied art.
Yeah, I don't know art that well.
Yeah, yeah. You know what you like, and sometimes you don't know why you like it, but if it works, it works.
Yeah, and if it's serviceable, sometimes that's fine. Do you know what I mean?
If it tells the story,
and I don't care for it as much, but if the story is really good, then I'll still give it a good rating. But I think that's it. And I guess Micah never showed up because I don't see...
You don't see anything?
I don't see him.
I don't see him.
I see him lit up as green, but he's always
green. He's always green. Even when his phone's dead,
yeah.
He's still green.
He's still green. So I think we could wrap this guy up.
All right.
This has been 199. Next episode will be 199.1 now. And we'll never get to 200.
There's a lot of decimal points in between 99 and 200.
Yeah. It'll be episode 199 plus pi. 3.14159.
It's 199.199.
We'll just keep adding another digit to the pi.
That'd be interesting. This is episode 3.14. This is episode
3.14159. And just keep on going.
Called the PieCast, and all we do is review pies.
That's right. Any interesting food? Have you discovered any new veggie treat?
food. I can't think of any food, interesting foods that I've had lately.
That's because nothing you eat is interesting. Sorry.
Oh, the world of vegetables is endless. The world of fermented soybeans. What about you?
No, nothing different. I
yet another pizza covered in chilies.
Bachelor the last week and ate out a lot.
Taco Bell every night.
When I came home, I ate like soups and sandwiches and stuff that I can make, like out of a can. I could put two pieces of bread together and stick some meat in there. But nothing that really stood out. Barb came home really sick, so she's got like she caught the bug. So I don't know what we'll eat today. Might just be soups and sandwiches. I did have some corned beef hash the other day out of a can, I mean, this is me cooking, like
corned beef hash out of a can.
Out of a can.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Then I crack some eggs on top of it and just kind of like ate the egg whites and the yolk on it. It was great. It was delicious. I ate the whole can with two eggs on it, and it was good. But I tried some orange cream peeps.
Oh, because peeps
are now for Easter, and they were absolutely fantastic. And this morning I ate another 5 peeps. Yellow peeps, just regular peeps that were little cheek.
Classic
peeps. Not the bunny peeps, but the little cheeks. The little chicks. Yeah, they're good. Peeps are great. I really think you haven't given them a chance.
Do you like them like fresh peeps or like little stale peeps?
I like them fresh, but I'll eat them stale. I'll eat them a year old if you give them to me.
I don't think I like the consistency. They're too...
I think you just didn't try them enough. I think we could get you to acquire the peeps.
It's an acquired taste.
Yes. I will bring some peeps to the next convention. Are you going to any conventions this year?
You mean outside of Chicago ones?
Yeah.
Not sure yet.
Can I stay at your place if I go to Chicago? Yeah. Yeah. Sleep in the shed.
You can sleep in your car in the driveway.
You can sleep in my car. It's pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I'm not that close to Chicago, though. Well, I mean, I'm close. But...
I was just kidding, Bill. You don't have to panic.
Sorry, I can kick my kids out of their bedroom. Where are you guys going? So you're not going to...
Not yet.
Seattle?
Nope.
Wherever that one was? The only one I
have a ticket for right now is Denver. That's the only one right now.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to Heroes. It's still... It's probably not likely being that Denver is... that they're back-to-back weekends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if I can do that at work. Really busy lately, which I guess is good. And then Baltimore, probably for sure. But I have a lot more vacation than Barb, so I could do a weekend somewhere.
Cool. Yeah, I'm still not sure about Heroes.
I'll have to see when Mike is going to Japan. Maybe he's already there. That's why he's not on the show.
I wonder if they have cons in Japan.
They have Manga Con.
I know they have some museums. They probably have conventions every weekend there.
Machines you go to and you get comics.
Yep.
So
how long is he going to be there for?
I thought it was a year, but it could be maybe a semester. I don't know. It could be life-changing if you do some kind of trip like that. I guess you find you like it. You could move to another country.
Yep, you could never come back.
Yep. All righty. This has been 199, and next episode will be 199.1. Or now. Well, we're going to use Marvel numbering, so yes. We never have to get to 200. Never have to tell Luke to drive drunk again in the snow.
Never force Luke to drive drunk again.
No, he was sober. It was the hangover night. In other words, he was smart enough to stay at wherever he was.
Up all night drinking.
Yep. And then wake up in the morning sober. With a hangover, and then try to drive in the snow. So.
Very responsible.
Yeah, maybe we can get him on episode 200. I'm sure they have a lot of snow now.
Yeah, tell me he has to be driving and drinking. To live up to last year.
Last year, yeah.
Or 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Alrighty. Well, you reach us at... Did I even give the information?
No.
Where can they reach us, Bill? I bet you don't know.
You can reach us on the Facebook page. Just do a search for Geek Brunch Podcast.
There you go.
Hit enter and hit the like button.
Right on.
And you'll be up to date on all of our fascinating comic book reading lives.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us at Mike, Bill, or Micah at comicbooknoise.com. You can go to...
I'm so flooded with emails that I just don't know what to do.
You can follow us on the Twitter accounts, which are DBM00 is mine, and Mike's is Mike Myers Brunch, and Micah's is do_Japan. And our webpage is, did I already say that? Geekbrunchpodcast.com.
Yep.
And you can follow us on Tumblr at...
Can they? I don't even know what
Tumblr is. Geekbrunchjapan.com.
Maybe that's why we're not getting any feedback. It's all going through the Tumblr. I don't know. I didn't know we had a Tumblr account.
And you can follow us on LinkedIn.com.
There you go. You can send us your resume. Maybe you can be on an episode.
That's right. If you would like to be a guest host,
yeah,
contact us on LinkedIn or Monster.com. And as always, you can find our photographs, our photograph stream on Instagram.com. And Fibbits.com.
And I didn't know this.
And we'll soon have a Flutterbee.com site, which is, that should be up next week. That's GBJapanPod.com.
Wow, that's a lot of contact.
The ways you can contact us. Don't be shy. Oh, yeah. iTunes.
Yes.
Create 4 accounts each and comment on iTunes.
Leave an iTunes review, man. Come on.
Lazy mofos.
We should get on Stitcher Radio.
Yes, you can follow us on StitcherRadio.com.
Can they?
I don't know.
All right.
And you can find our new brand of corned beef hash.
With eggs.
With eggs. You can get that on Amazon. Just search for Geek Brunch Hash.
And they'll get weed.
And, of course, there's also the Geek Brunch Soy Hash, our new offering.
Do they have soy hash?
Not that I know of.
Can you have a potato? Or do you have things against potatoes?
Only if they're soy potatoes.
You can't eat a proper potato? Yeah, you had fries. Never mind. Fries.
Potato chips.
Because I know potatoes like kind of cross into the meat group.
How do they cross into the meat? That's true. They are alive.
The meat and potatoes.
Living potatoes. Because they are related to potatoes. They're eaten with they're eaten with meat, so we cannot have them. They're associated with... Anything associated with meat, can't eat. What was I? Oh, Stitcher. All right. Is that it?
I think that is it.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Thank you. Go on your travels. Go get the crossed by Christos Gage. And you too can follow along with this episode.
Yes.
And hide it from your children until they become 72, and then you can...
then they'll be too old. The heart attacks. I don't know what a good age... I think 40 is a good age for crust.
as perverse as it is, it's really not intended. Don't you get that? I mean, it's really more like if you lose all of your...
Yeah, it's usually not focused on the...
Yeah, the vile stuff is usually in the background.
Yeah, it's going on. I mean, it's there. Oh, man, I forgot this part. I don't want to spoil it, but what that guy did with the little girl on his shoulders?
No, what did he do? I don't remember.
With the helicopter?
Oh, shit, he threw her into the... Oh, fuck.
That was horrible.
I forgot about that.
So did I. Just remembered. Oh. Yeah, that was...
That's how he brought the helicopter down. She seemed to enjoy the ride.
Well, as they pointed out in this, they enjoy pain. They enjoy causing pain on others, but they also enjoy causing pain on themselves.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Very much like Bill.
What?
All right. Episode 200 is around the corner. I'm sure Bill will get a special guest for us.
If you'd like to be on episode 200, please send in your resume.
Your voice clips.
Your voice clips to bill@comicbooknoise.com. I need those by the 20th. Wait, what day is today?
Just say Friday.
This episode won't even be out.
This episode won't even be out by Friday.
Please send it in by the February 17th.
Or the 28th.
Yeah, the 28th. By the end of February. Put it on your calendars. Make a little note. Doesn't have to be a long clip. Photo to photos.
You should post like a script that they could read from. So they at least know what it's like.
That's true. We have to make sure your enunciation and make sure we have to make sure you can read.
Yeah, we're so professional. All right. We'll talk to you later, Bill. Have a good one.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah.